Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning how to deal with regret as part of a discussion we're having on learning to deal with emotions. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about dealing with sorrow. For the past 2 weeks, we focused on dealing with sorrow, the sorrow we experience when we lose someone dear to us or something important to us. Well, this week, we want to add another element. In addition to grief over loss, when we lose someone or something dear to us, we all experience sorrow over choices we've made. These choices can range from poor choices to decisions that don't produce the results we had hoped for to sinful choices. This kind of sorrow is called regret and or guilt. Regret is sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond our power to change. When choices produce unexpected negative results that can't be undone, we experience regret. Now, we're specifically looking at something that happened to David while he was on the run from Saul. He and a group of 600 of his supporters, plus their women and children, went into Philistine territory to hide out and for a year lived in a town there called Ziklag. While David and the men were away from the town on a mission, a local tribe raided the city, burned it to the ground, and carried off all the women and children. When David and his men returned, they found a pile of ashes and their loved ones gone. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're told that they wept until they could weep no more. David lost two wives in this. Taken captive. They didn't know if they'd ever see him again. The Amalekites, the tribe that raided him, could well have sold them into slavery, and they were out of the country by this point. Well, let me read verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Their grief morphed into bitterness. Their souls were grieved or bitter. That's what the Hebrew says. And this bitterness expressed itself in anger, which drove them to talk about getting revenge. Revenge is payback. Emotions sometimes compel us to blame someone or something for our loss because we think if we can get revenge, we'll feel better and the situation will somehow be helped. Now, we left off yesterday making the point that there's a lot of emotions going on here. They're experiencing a jumble of emotions. They've got the severe loss and the pain of that loss, and they're angry at David and possibly at themselves. You can relate to this. When a decision you make turns out poorly, it's very easy to be angry with yourself and begin to struggle with if only I had done this, or if only I hadn't done that, it wouldn't have turned out the way it's turned out. You can see David's men doing that. If only we hadn't followed David to this place. If only we had stayed in Ziklag instead of going on this expedition. If only we had come back from our mission earlier. Now, all of those are expressions of guilt and regret. If only is actually an accusation against themselves. This is somehow our fault. Now, it's natural to feel that way in this kind of a situation. When we make a decision that doesn't turn out as we'd hoped, it's easy to get caught up in the if only I had done this or if only I had not done that. You've got to learn to stop that game because it is a complete waste of time and it's actually counterproductive. Think about it for a minute. Even if David and his men should have done something differently. Let me back up here. I said yesterday what happened here, it wasn't anybody's fault. It was an example of life in a sin-cursed earth where wicked men rob and kill inspired by the devil, they rob and kill. That's life in a sin-cursed earth. But let's say David and his men should have done something different, like maybe leave some men to guard the city. What's done is done. They can't undo it. See, that's the point. You can't undo what's in the past. You can only deal with the situation as it is, not as it should have been. You've got to learn that in your own situation. Don't fixate on undoing what can't be undone. Focus on dealing with the situation as it is, because that's where God's help is. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Fixing on the if-onlys does nothing positive. Instead, it feeds the emotions of regret, guilt, and sorrow. But if you don't feed those feelings, they will eventually subside. Emotions fade when there's nothing stimulating them. Now let's go on here. After it says the men began to talk of stoning David because they were bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters, verse 6 ends up saying, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, well, let me read the whole verse. You need to hear this too. The verse starts out, and David was greatly distressed. David was greatly distressed too. He's feeling regret, no doubt. He had led the men to this place, and he's probably feeling fear because they're talking about killing him on top of his sorrow. But see, notice, the verse starts out, David was greatly distressed, but it ends, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. Now, this word encourage means to fasten upon, to seize, and to be strong. He fastened upon, he seized, he was strong in God. Berkeley's translation says he laid hold on the Lord his God. The Jerusalem Bible says he took courage from God. It's actually, this word encourage, David encouraged himself, it's actually the same word translated be strong over in Joshua chapter 1 when God set Joshua over the Israelites in Moses' place. You remember the story. Moses led them out of Egypt and all the way through their 40-year wilderness wandering. But when Israel came to the edge of the promised land for the second time, Moses died and Joshua, under the direction of the Lord, took over. And God's instructions to him were be strong and very courageous. Be strong. He says that to him three times. I'm not going to read it all in the interest of time, but in verse 6, 7, and 9, he says be strong. Be resolute and strong. Be firm and steadfast is how it's translated. It's the same word. David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. He fastened himself. He made himself firm. He made himself steadfast. Be strong here in Joshua meant fasten yourself on these facts. God gave him reasons to be strong. Verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee, Joshua, all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong. Fasten yourself. Set yourself. Strengthen yourself. Encourage yourself. Be strong and of good courage. And then verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. God tells him, be strong, fasten yourself. And then he says, here's why you can stand strong, stand firm. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. How was he with Moses? He was with Moses as the great I am. I am all you need me to be when you need me to be it. I will never abandon you, and I will be with you wherever you go. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. So he tells them to be strong. See, I've had people tell me, I'm trying to be strong. Don't try to be strong. Look at what God has promised to do and to be for you, and that will give you strength. That will give you the encouragement you need to stand in this awful situation. God gave Joshua reasons why he could fasten upon, seize upon. He gave him reasons he could fasten upon and seize upon, reasons why he could be strong. And then God directed Joshua to his word. Let me read verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, book of the law, God directs Joshua right here to the Bible. Now, at this point, the Bible is only 5 books long. It's the first 5 books of the Old Testament that had been recorded by Moses during their wilderness wanderings. But he tells him, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Knox translation says, the law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of yours. Keep it in your thoughts day and night, that you may keep with care everything in it. God tells him, keep it in your mind, keep it on your mouth. Verse 8 says, meditate on my word continually. Meditate means to mutter or ponder. Then God said, you'll be prosperous. That word there means push forward. And God said, you'll be successful. That word means to act with insight. If you focus on the written record I've given you of how I deal with my people and what I do for my people, then you will push forward and act with insight. You have reason to be steadfast and strong. Now, that's Joshua here, he's fully human. There's no reason to think that he did not experience certain emotions at this point. He's just been put in charge of a really difficult group of people. He's taking the place of Moses. Moses is probably the most famous man in the Bible. Even unbelievers have heard of him. He was probably feeling fear, anxiety, inadequacy. So God's instructions to him were, don't allow what you see and feel here to change your view of reality. Hold on to reality as it truly is, according to my written word. Don't be moved by anything but my word. Set your focus on what I say. Seize it, fasten upon it, and it will strengthen and encourage you. I told you, Joshua, when I brought you out of Egypt, that I would bring you into this land and defeat every enemy you face. None of this is bigger than me. Now, Joshua had all that written down for him. It was written by Moses during the 40 years of wandering. But the point is, David in 1 Samuel 30, facing this horrific situation, encouraged himself in the Lord. He made himself strong by renewing his trust in what God had said to him. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.